Well, if you were here last week, where I preached a sermon titled Weak Made Strong from 2 Samuel chapter 5. And the reason was the fact that David was now going to rise to his kingship because he was anointed, but that took a long time because Saul was just running after him. So he was hiding, running for his life again and again. And then when Saul passed away and many people died, so many people from Israel came and they made David their king and in chapter 5. And then we have seen how this king now is conquering and also is establishing himself. So the first move he made, he was going to go up to conquer Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, I said, it was not called Jerusalem. It was called Jebusite, because Jebusites were living in that place. And it was when David went there, and then he called it Jerusalem. And here we see the Jebusites were mocking David, and they say to him, "You are weak. You cannot come. You cannot conquer. Even the blind and the lame will defeat you." Well, he went and he conquered the forces who were there, and because the Lord God was with him. And that was what he said in verse 12 of chapter 5. And David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and has exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people. That is what happened. David himself was helped by God to defeat these people. So he was weak and he was made strong. But now we will see the opposite. Now we read in verses 13 to 16 how David now is becoming comfortable in Jerusalem. Now David is now moving to a place of real authority with all the city, because the city here, after he defeated his enemies there, we read in there people came and gave him gift. In verse 11, now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David along with cedar logs and carpenters and stone masons, and they built a palace for David. David now living in a palace. David was now established. And David, after he was established and become comfortable, and the Bible says after he left Hebron, David took more concubines and wives in Jerusalem. Now David is acting now against God, because in Deuteronomy 17:17, there was a warning for God's people not to take concubines, not to take more wife. But David deliberately he did these two things. First thing, he disobeyed the Lord after knowing that it was the Lord who established him. And then now he went on to do the very thing that the word of God prohibited. This is what the word says: "You are not to go back that ways. You are not to go the ways of the king of the earth." And then a prophet, he must not take many wives, or a king. King must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. And these are the very things that he has established. Well, I was responding really to Alistair when he was sharing here, and I can relate to this. Many of us who have come from countries where we were really running for our lives, like King David. So many of us came into these countries with their Bibles and visas and clothes and things like that. And today many of us have acquired really things that the citizens of these countries are running after. Some of us are living in palaces today. Well, sometimes when you don't live in a palace and you live at a rental place, if there is any writing on the wall or anything, then you are also will be accused of really breaking the contracts, isn't it? So So again, people will see it as legitimate to have their own properties, which is there's nothing wrong about that. But some people have pushed it too far to live in palaces and maybe acquired more wives. So King David here, we see the word after he left Hebron. After he left Hebron. What is Hebron? Well, if we go back to the word of God to Genesis chapter 12 and 13, that was when really the word Hebron really came to mention. When he was called from between the rivers in Baghdad. Abraham, when he was called by God and he was asked to leave his own people, his own country, his own people, and his own household. You see, leaving his country, his tribes, even his immediate family, moving away from all this comfort and security to go to a place that God was going to show him. And then he went. As he went there and he came to this place, Abraham traveled through the land of Canaan as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east near Jericho. It's just like 32 kilometers from Jerusalem, now called Jerusalem. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued toward the Negev. So this man now he lives in this place. So he went to Egypt. Even in Egypt, he came back again to the place that where he has built an altar earlier. So in chapter 13, so Abraham moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Moreh at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. So this place is really associated with God, isn't it? It's where the altar was first built by Abraham to worship God. This is where he has established a very strong relationship with God. So Hebron is so Jerusalem is no better than Hebron. And we have seen that was the very place where he was preserved from Saul. And now he is leaving this place for a better place. So what is the direction I have here? After he left Hebron, the foundation, the very place where he learned first to call upon the name of his God. Abraham, his forefathers. And so David here, this place is linked because he, after all, he is an offspring of Abraham and he's going to be the king. So after he left Hebron, he took more concubines. It's when we leave the place where we know how to know to call upon the name of the Lord that we can go astray. It's when we start to move our eyes away from the Lord because of the comfort, because this man now he has been established and he lacks nothing. And he is like trying to be like the kings of the land. And so he took more concubines that were going to turn his heart away from the Lord. And if we say God really kept also his promises, but it's not because David was doing the right thing, but it's because of God's mercy and his commitment to fulfill his promises, because he was looking ahead to a Redeemer, to the time when his son will come into this world. And we who have been redeemed could look back and see his mercy, and also we would see the warning. It was after he left Hebron. And whenever we leave the place where we have learned to call upon the name of the Lord, because of the comfort of this world, we will be made weaker by these things that we want to crowd our lives with. So he took, you remember, he knew it was the Lord who established him, but now it's himself who has taken upon himself the decision to take more wives. Always to sin is our decision. It's not God's decision. To run away from the Lord is not God's decision. It's our decision, because he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And because he was seeking for a place, even Hebron was shown to him by God. He said to him, where shall I go? Where shall I go? At the opening verse words of chapter 5. He acquired of the Lord where shall I go? Where shall I go? And then he was told to Hebron. And he went to Hebron. He said, where shall I go in the places in these cities? In Judea, where shall I go? Well, we have seen this man. He's with many concubines, and he's going to have a lot of children. And we see also the rivalry that will happen. You see, so sometimes there are small beginnings. They are better than really the great blessings, isn't it? Because after all, God allows. I could see that God would not want just to give us things, isn't it? It's not a God who just wants to give us things. It's God who wants to lead us and to give us our daily bread. And when we go far beyond what he that can please him, we can run into a disaster. It has been on my mind since yesterday, reflecting on the life of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, after he was put to jail and he heard that Jesus was performing a lot of miracles, he sent his two of his disciples to Jesus and asking whether they should be waiting for someone else or he is the one that was promised to come. And then John's disciples, when they went there, they said what John said to them, to Jesus. And Jesus, from that moment, I started really to do more miracles. That is a Middle Eastern way of doing things. If a messenger is sent to you and you are given a message, and then you don't have to respond immediately, you show the fact that you have heard the message, and then you are given a time. For them, it's not their task to push you to get the answers. And so Jesus was able to perform miracles within that time, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or even 30 minutes. It was a long distance, so they waited. And then after John messengers, because that was Jesus, sent them away again. After they left, John messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the winds? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. Well, David now is in a palace. David is in a palace. And I said, and Jesus said, no greater among those born of women, greater than John the Baptist. And I said to myself, John the Baptist was greater even than Moses. Was greater even than Moses himself. You can say that was a revelation of God to me. And that spoke to me. What is that? And then the conclusion is that God is not interested in us living in palaces or in great comfort. Because the comfort is the very antidote to the life that is fully dedicated to God. And I kept thinking of the words of this man. Philip Jenkins was a theologian, a thinker. And I think I came across that book, but also Professor Millen, whom I'm meeting tomorrow for a coffee, once quoted him saying that this man said, if you want to meet a true Christian in the world, you might not find him in the capitals of Europe. You may find him in a village in Nigeria. Just imagine a Christian living in a village in Nigeria. What type of life this true believer and Christian would be living. It's just incredible. And I think this text, if it's not going to change and transform your perspective about living for God and with God and serving God, and then you miss a lot of things here. At least for me, it has been an eye-opening. And I urge you today to see the fact that the weak will be made strong if they live closely in obedience, like not to take on concubines like David. He was warned. Or you may say, I'm not a king. Well, what the New Testament says, we are king and priest to God, isn't it? We are king because we have dominions over the kingdom of Satan. We are kings with our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And just imagine a king who will indulge themselves in this type of life. Jesus didn't do that. Why would we want to do that? After he left Hebron. Hebron was the foundation of the foundation of the worship, was the place where Abraham was established and David himself was established. That was the place where he learned to call upon the name of the Lord and to seek him for every small thing. Shall I go up to any towns of Judea and where it is specific? And then the Lord said to him, to Hebron. To Hebron was a place that was chosen to him or given to him by God himself. And here now we see after he left, and he left not only physically, and I believe even with his heart, that is what happens. His heart moved to be focused on himself, to have more wives, to enjoy their services and physical relationship. And just imagine, this man now, he is in a serious situation. Well, he might go on to win, but we see here that he has started to walk in the path that will have a lot of problems. Even his son, Absalom, will rebel against him later. He will lose his authority because that is the nature of sin. Well, today, the warning is for us all. And what I want to leave with your heart is the fact that when we leave the place where we know for sure that God has established us, and I mean not just a physical position, place, even when we are our conviction, our hearts, when we love things more than the Lord himself, we can be like David himself. Because that was what happened. He gave his heart to these foreign women. Many of them are foreigners. And now he's going to have a lot of children. And we don't see in the Old Testament that God's people won because they have great numbers, isn't it? Because some people, the earthen nations, even in South Sudan, having more children, that means you will not be intimidated. You will win a lot of wars, isn't it? But for God's people, we don't win because of our power and strength. We don't win with our swords and arrows and our chariots. We win because God is the one who is winning battles for us. And tonight, God is calling us to trust him more and more and not to give our hearts to the things of this world. And there are many pressing on our hearts all the time and clouding our minds. And because the world in which we live is just dictating to us how to live as God's people. But the choice is ours. to choose which way to go, to choose the way to live in palaces, or to like one living in palaces. So you may have a big house. Maybe your heart is not for that. Maybe you don't call it a palace, because even definition of palace in our modern days, we don't know. You can have even like 3 bedrooms and it's still a palace to you, isn't it? When you call it like that, it is disastrous as well. It's a danger. So the Lord wants our hearts not to be moved, not to live like this man, and to decide for ourselves. If we learn to call upon his name and persevere in asking for direction and his will, let us wait for his will, and not to take it upon ourselves to make decisions that will take us away from the will of God. The disciples themselves, they saw Jesus walking on the water, because there were things that can intimidate them. Sometimes we make decisions because we are feeling under danger or threatened, isn't it? Because Peter, when he was asked, because if he said to Jesus, "If that is you, ask me to come and walk like you on the water." And he was able to do that because his eyes were fixed on Jesus. It was only when he moved his eyes away from Jesus he started to sing, because of the danger he saw there. Even danger also can cause us to make decisions like that. Even the same thing, comfort also can cause us to move our eyes from the Lord. Because Jesus said to him, "Come." Like when the Lord God said to David, "Go to Hebron." And now he left Hebron. So my fear is many of us who are sitting here tonight have left Hebron, the place of true communion with God, fear of God, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, integrity, saying things in public, the same thing saying in secret. It has to be a walking in the light. David missed great opportunities to demonstrate to us what it is to follow the Lord. But even we in the New Testament, because of God's grace and his Holy Spirit and the work of Christ on the cross, we are able to see that even a great man like David, he was missing marks that he shouldn't have missed. And why should we miss it ourselves in our days? We have a world around us to conquer. And guess what? God will have no mercy upon us again. Because here he dealt with David with mercy, because he was looking to the cross. But Jesus already has been crucified. We have been redeemed and our eyes have been opened. And there is no sacrifice to be offered again, but to trust the Lord. It's one wife alone. One wife, one man, one God, one Lord, one baptism. Well, concubine in this country, if you think people are not taking concubine, that is what my friend Peter Iswin calls progressive polygamy. Progressive polygamy is you divorce your wife, you marry another one, you divorce her, you marry another one. Many people have divorced more than 4 and 5 times. And they are still not seen as polygamist. Just only if you have come from Africa, you will be called a polygamist. David took more concubines. Well, the concubines made him weak. God makes us strong, but sin makes us weak. Let us pray.